Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Brothers and sisters, that's the way I want to die, to know that God is with me, and that death is nothing but a shadow. Is that your goal? Because we're all going to die, brothers and sisters. Unless the rapture happens, but now you can determine the time of that rapture. That's not my argument today, but the rapture will occur. And we all know that if that doesn't occur, we'll die. And we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking to Christians now. We'll stand before Christ and give an account what was done in the flesh. Were we faithful to Him in our works? Did we glorify Him and do all in the name of Christ? I want to come with that assurance that I did my best. Yes, I failed at times, but there was, like I said before, there was forgiveness. Christ forgave me. But I stand before Him and He says, welcome to my presence, good and faithful servant. Now, I ended the last podcast with this thought of being double-minded that I see as one of the major causes for us not drawing near to Christ. So what does double-minded mean? I'm going to try to explain that. I love word studies in the Bible. I try to get parse verbs and things and find out what kind of voice and what kind of mood, tenses and all this. And that I've had some Greek education for a couple years, but lost a lot over my wanderings from the Lord. But God forgive me, and it has as He has done. But that's another story. I may talk about that in some podcasts that would help you grow as a Christian. But we're dealing today with the word double-minded. I think it came from James 1:18 that says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A couple of words, three words, double-minded and unstable. Unstable, we're going to talk about their words. It's a good word study, and the average Christian can do word studies. I mean, there's so many helps out there on the internet about Bible words, and you can help yourself. There's no excuse for a Christian not knowing the scriptures and what the subjects are about Christianity, because there's so many helps out there. One day it may not be out there. It would do well to learn now. And this will help you grow as a Christian. But I thank you for tuning in and listening to this old poor soul on his rantings and ravings here. I believe they're biblical. I try to stick to the Bible as much as possible and not inject my own opinion. I will say that if it's my own opinion. But I'm a man of the book. I'm a man of scripture. So we want to talk about this word double-minded. Because we're talking about drawing near to Christ. We're talking about a reason why Christians don't. We're examining in ourselves. We're getting a diagnosis, as I used last podcast about the physical world. You go to the doctor, you get a diagnosis, and they make corrections. So we're making a diagnosis, not judging anybody, making a diagnosis. This may be your case. The word double-minded is from two Greek words. It is die, and you know that word, what it means, two, and psychos. Psychos, we get our word psychology and psychiatric and all those words from this Greek word. So it means soul. So two-souled, or it's a person with two souls, a person that is living two contrasting lives in the context of James 1:8. They're living two different lives. They're playing the Christian part. I'm talking about believers here, which they can do. They can give in to the sin nature. So they have one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. So they're playing a double life. He or she is choosing to live one or the other, or both. Listen to what Jesus says. You cannot serve both. Well, I take that back. I just corrected myself because what Jesus said. He says, no one can serve two masters. This is Matthew 6:24, by the way. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, look back in James 1:8. We know what double-minded means. It means two-souled. Choosing to live one life or the other, live one over the other, and trying to live for the other one. The Greek word for unstable means restless. It carries with it a connotation of falseness. If you look at other scriptures, same word. Because it is found only two other times in scripture, which is 1 Peter 2:14 and 3:16, and it's used in context with false prophets. So, the Greek word for unstable means restless. It carries with it a connotation of falseness. So, if you're double-minded, you're living a false life. That's what it's saying. You're living a life that's not true. You're supposed to be living for Christ, but you're living for yourself, you're living for the world, and you're living in deception of Satan himself. Wow! What a diagnosis, Brother Larry. Yes, but it's nonetheless the truth. Scriptures say it. I didn't make it up. What it's saying is this: do not live as the unsaved and the false teachers do. So, if you read 2 Peter 3:16 and understand what double-mindedness is and what it can do to our spiritual lives, you and I must be aware, lest we become unstable and fall into error. We want to be, and here's another word the Bible uses, and I want you to turn to 2 Peter before I get to this. Because in that context of being unstable, in 2 Peter, this is one of the verses we used for being unstable. 2 Peter, chapter 3, I'm turning there myself. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And here's what happens. Here's what happens in double-mindedness. It says, 2 Peter 3, verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard. It's a military term, by the way. So we're talking about warfare here. Be on your guard so that you may not be, remember you're talking to Christians here, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow, this is why it's important to be near the Lord, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory for now and forever. You and I must be aware lest we become unstable and fall into error and be carried away with it. Because one error leads to another error. This is exactly the point of many Christians where they're at. You ever ask yourself when you hear a Christian say something, he says, where in the world is that in the scriptures? It's talking about maybe a way of life. Where does it say that? I know it's an error. It's because they've fallen into this thing of called being double-minded. And we have to be aware of that. And it's an easy thing to fall into. And we want to be steadfast. And I think that's what, in the King James, it uses that word, is to be steadfast. I'm sorry, I was reading from another translation. Thus we become unstable, fall into error, we want to be steadfast. And this is another word study. This word's important in the context of James, or Peter. Steadfast is a Greek word which means, which is hedraios. It comes from the word hedra, which means seat, which denotes to be comfortable, to be fixed, listen to this, to be fixed morally, or firm, or settle in. So we want to be steadfast, we want to be fixed, we want to be comfortable in Jesus Christ, in His Word. Just the opposite of being double-minded, by the way. We do not want to be deceived and be like the unsaved and lose our seat of fellowship. Listen to what I'm saying. And to lose our seat of fellowship with the Lord. Peter says that by doing so, not being steadfast, we're being led captive, away with error. You're not being victorious. We are being a victim here. And he tells us to be aware of that. He warns of this, to be on your guard. Larry, be on your guard. Listeners, be on your guard, military term. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on Christ. Be near to Him. He will protect you and He will guard you. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says to his believers in Ephesus, which will bring me to the next point, which is a positive point. This is a negative one. I understand it. And how to draw near to Christ as a believer. Paul says in Ephesians 4:14, that we from now on be no more children. And what he's saying is this, and if I may put it bluntly, grow up. Be no more children, tossed to and fro, that's instability, that's what it means, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now listen, brothers and sisters, to live free in Christ, first of all, is to be honest with ourselves. Am I being honest with myself about my relationship to Christ? Or do I keep making excuses for my actions? We say, oh, he or she has said bad things about me, so I'm going to retaliate. I have a right to be angry. And you can put all kinds of illustrations in there. Or do we try to hide our true feelings and put on a mask before others? We present ourselves as spiritual. When you're bringing grief to the Holy Spirit, Satan, like I said, my friends, knows our sins and our hypocrisy within ourselves, and he exploits them to his own advantage. But remember, Satan has a method, wiles, the Bible calls it, tailor-made for each one of us. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about being truthful with ourselves, not to be double-minded. We recognize that we are being double-minded, and we're not steadfast, we're not stable, we're not sitting in comfort with the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth subject that I'll talk about brings me to our spiritual armor, and that's found in, where else? Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 14. Remember, everything I'm talking about is talking about spiritual warfare. But you never heard these in spiritual warfare, have you? No, you just hear about the passage found in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm expanding on that. Because I think all of it's important as the spiritual armor. Where it says in chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Now, I'm going to explain what I mean probably in the next broadcast. But let me just make this statement. I don't believe in 6:14 that Paul is talking here primarily about the Word of God. Now, before you say something, I know that the Bible is the truth of God. This, to me, is more as a result of the Word of God. I think what Paul is talking about, and there's commentators, Bible teachers that agree with me on this, that Paul is talking about truthfulness that comes from that sword that's hanging from that belt, being honest with ourselves, being honest with people. Because later on in verse 17, then he'll talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's a connection, but yet there's not a connection. So he's talking about being truthful. So, in order to do battle in this spiritual world, because that's where our adversary is at, he's not in the flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness. We must emphasize, I must have the truth which is only found in Jesus Christ. That's spiritual truth. Jesus always connected truth with everything. Grace and full of grace and truth. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are in a truth war, brothers and sisters. What is true and what is false? And boy, do we need a dose of what is true. I'm glad God gave His Word, because it's steadfast. It's written in stone right here. You can't change it. It's there. If you look out at what people call the truth today, it's always changing. And we're talking about a moral, absolute truth, which the world really doesn't recognize much anymore. Oh, that's your truth, that's my truth. That's called relativism, in case you've never heard that. That all truth is relative, which it is not. God's word stands sure. So, in order to do battle in the spiritual world, I must have the truth, which is only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Truth. Yeah, truth about salvation, truth about Him, truth about God, truth about the Holy Spirit. That's only found in the truth of the Word of God. Now, you can argue that all you want to. If you're here and you're a doubter and you're listening, I will do a series of podcasts. In fact, you can read them yourself on the Word of God itself. Is it trustworthy? This will be after I finish this on the spiritual armor of God, when I finish the book of Ephesians. So hang on if you want to listen to that. But I trust the Word of God. It's proven itself. Over and over and over, men have tried to destroy it. They tried to burn it. They tried to do away with it. And they're dead. And it still stands. I just want to get that into your thinking if you're listening today and you may be a doubter. I hope you're not. These are sure words of the prophecies and the precepts of God Himself. So, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Remember, we are a captive of our sin. We're a captive of our souls. And Christ came to give us that word that will free us from that. But we must come to Him. If you remember way back in those broadcasts, I talked about having our minds renewed so that we can see things from a spiritual perspective. and not how we used to think and live, but how God wants us to think and how He wants us to live. Well, do you know that the agent, and I'm going to end with this, do you know that the agent of this bringing the truth into our lives, we must look at John 16 and in verse 12. And I'm going to end with this. It's in the Gospel of John. You got your Bible? John chapter 16 and verse 12. And I'm going to end with this passage. I read John chapter 16, verse 12. I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus speaking. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Holy Spirit's a person, the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all what? Truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. If you have a spirit, if you hear a spirit that doesn't glorify Christ, it's not the Spirit of truth. He'll glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. If this message has blessed you, pass it on, brothers and sisters, and we'll all rejoice in heaven together. God bless.